Bako tampak biasa, biasa saja. Jalani hari dan tertawa. Apa selama ini ku tak benar cinta? Tak harus ku alirkan air mata untuk tunjukkan derita. Ya tinggalkan ku seketika. Terus bertanya apa alasannya. Mungkin dia bukan orangnya. Mengapa ku mudah terima? Apa selama ini ku tak benar cinta? Tak harus ku alirkan air mata untuk tunjukkan derita.
From Jakarta, Indonesia, here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id. And RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
From Indonesia to the world.
Listener, here is Highlight of the Week, presenting you what is happening in Indonesia for this week with me, Steve. And you can listen to this on voanews.id, application RRI Digital, and the frequencies 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. These are the top stories. Indonesia is opening more opportunities for the European Union to engage in national development and economy. Trump and Prabowo agree on the 19% export tariff, and here is highlight of the week. Indonesia is opening more opportunities for European Union to engage in national development and the economy. More detail by Desi Anugranov.
The Indonesian government is enhancing its electronic-based government system as a step toward a more integrated digital governance. This was conveyed by Acting Deputy for the Government's Digital Transformation at the Ministry of Administrative and Bureaucratic Reform, Cahyono Tribirowo, on Monday. Cahyono emphasized that the system is not only about assessing institutional readiness, but also about improving user satisfaction in public services. Cross-agency collaboration, data integration, and management transformation are key pillars in building more efficient and transparent public services. This policy also supports Indonesia's effort to join the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, as many countries have adopted similar digital transformation strategies.
This is what strengthens us together, that this is not only being done in Indonesia by the Indonesian government, but also by many countries around the world, through bureaucratic simplification, collaboration, and a focus on openness and transparency.
The Indonesian government is prioritizing business services, property management, public administration, debt revenue, and citizen life cycle services. These services are being built on a foundation of digital identity, data exchange, and digital payment system with a strong emphasis on data protection and security. Looking ahead, the government aims to ensure that 90% of civil servants possess optimal digital competences by 2029, aligning with comprehensive reform in governance and public service delivery. Desi Anugrano, Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia strengthens electronic-based government system towards integrated digital services. More detail by Desi Anugrano.
President Prabowo Subianto announced that Indonesia is opening more opportunities for the European Union to engage in national development and the economy. He emphasized that Indonesia is also ready to enter the European business landscape. In bilateral meeting with President of the European Council, Antonio Costa, at the Europa Building in Brussels, Belgium on Sunday, President Prabowo highlighted that one of the key areas for continued cooperation is in education and healthcare. According to President Prabowo, Indonesia sends and funds an average of over 3,000 students to study in Europe each year. Currently, a total of around 11,000 Indonesian students have received scholarship to study in Europe, not including those who study at their own expense.
The last 2 years, we have opened a lot of sectors for foreign participation. Now we open the health sector, any foreign hospitals or medical institutions can open their subsidiaries or their affiliated institution in Indonesia. We allow now foreign hospitals to open in Indonesia. We also open now foreign campuses.
President Prabowo also stated that cooperation between Indonesia and the European Union in all aspects is essential, as Indonesia's political and legal system have been significantly influenced by European culture. Desi Anugrano, Voice of Indonesia.
Synergy of holistic policies accelerates national stunting reduction. More detail by Ofra Regina.
The Indonesian government continues to promote efforts to reduce stunting through a comprehensive data-driven approach. Speaking at the second Kaji Reka Policy Recommendations Dissemination Forum in Jakarta on Monday, Deputy Minister for Population and Family Development Ratu Ayu Isyana Bagus Oka emphasized the importance of synergy between nutrition interventions, the strengthening of family planning programs, and the fulfillment of reproductive health rights. She highlighted three interrelated critical issues. One of them is early and exclusive breastfeeding practices as key elements in shaping effective national policies.
Yang pertama, praktik menyusui dini.
The first is early and exclusive breastfeeding practices. The second is stunting challenges in Eastern Indonesia and access to contraceptive tools and medicines. These three are crucial points in forming a holistic, evidence-based policy strategy. I strongly hope that the findings presented will not only enrich our understanding, but also encourage the birth of more applicable and well-targeted policies. For the Deputy Minister, Oka stated that with a convergence approach, accelerating stunting reductions becomes a vital step in securing the future of the next generations. Data shows that the stunting rate declined from 21.5% in 2023 to 19.8% in 2024. However, she reminded that major challenges remain, requiring stronger cross-sector collaborations going forward. Ofa Regina, Voice of Indonesia.
Chilean Navy training ship Esmeralda visits Jakarta on a diplomatic mission. More detail by Ofra Regina.
The Chilean Navy's training ship Esmeralda docked at the Military Sea Leave Command or Colin Lamil Pier in Tanjung Priok, North Jakarta on Sunday. According to Chief of Staff of Colin Lamil Rear Admiral Edi Haryanto, the visit of Esmeralda, which has sailed the world oceans for 69 years, is part of the 60th anniversary celebrations of diplomatic relations between Indonesia and Chile. The visit also serves as a contrast example of naval diplomacy in action.
Kunjungan Visits such as Esmeraldas to Jakarta or mutual naval visits in general are part of the traditional role of navies around the world. One of those roles is to carry out naval diplomacy in support of the broader diplomatic mission of the state.
Speaking at the same event, Chilean Ambassador to Indonesia Mario Ignacio Artaza emphasized that the Esmeralda's journey is not only about naval training, but also about carrying a message of friendship through cultural exchange.
At this point, the most important element of the relationship is people-to-people contact, whereupon both navies are able to interact, to learn their culture, of how they operate, how they work together as teams.
The vessel carries around 270 crew members, including international cadets, and will host a variety of cultural and sport activities while in Jakarta. Before arriving in Indonesia, Esmeralda had visited Hawaii, Japan, and China. Following its stop in Jakarta, the ship will continue its journey to Sydney and Papeete before returning to its home port in Valparaiso, Chile in October. Over Regina, Voice of Indonesia.
Trump and Prabowo agree on 19%. An export tariff. Full report by Desi Anugrano.
U.S. President Donald Trump has announced that he has reached a significant trade agreement with Indonesia. Under this deal, Indonesia export to the United States will face a fixed tariff of 19%, while American products will be allowed to enter the Indonesia market without any tariff or non-tariff barriers. Trump made this statement during a press briefing as reported by Antara News on Wednesday. He said the agreement was the result of direct negotiation between himself and the President of the Republic of Indonesia, Prabowo Subianto. Trump emphasized the full market access the U.S. now has to Indonesia, particularly in the copper sector.
On copper. As you know, Indonesia is very strong on copper, but we have full access to everything. We will pay no tariffs, so they are giving us access into Indonesia, which we never had. That's probably the biggest part of the deal. And the other part is they are going to pay 19%, and we are going to pay nothing. I think it's a good deal for both parties, but we will have full access into Indonesia.
President Trump also said that several other trade agreements with partner countries will be announced soon. Desi Anugrano, Voice of Indonesia.
President Prabowo says France support the two-state solution to end conflict. More detail by Dora Pardede.
After serving as an honorary guest at France National Day celebration, or Bastille Day in Paris on Monday, Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto attended a private dinner with French President Emmanuel Macron at the Elysee Palace later that evening. In a press statement, President Prabowo said that the meeting discussed effort to strengthen bilateral relations between Indonesia and France. He also noted France's support for Indonesia in Europe, as well as its backing of the two-state solution to resolve the Israel-Palestine conflict.
Yesterday we had a meeting over dinner, but we discussed many issues regarding Indonesia-France cooperation. France has been very supportive of us in Europe. Overall, it was very productive, and yes, we discussed it. France support the two-state solution.
President Prabowo departed Paris for Indonesia on Thursday local time. His return marks the conclusion of a series of visits to several partner countries.
Indonesia responds U.S. tariff with export market diversification. More detail by Desi Anugranov.
Indonesia's Minister of Marine Affairs and Fisheries, Sakti Wahyutrenggono, has responded to the 32% import tariff imposed by the United States on Indonesian product, including those from the fisheries sector. Speaking after a coordination meeting on the launch of the Merah Putih Village Cooperative,
In Jakarta on Tuesday, Trenggono said that the U.S. tariff policy should be addressed with adaptive strategies, particularly by diversifying export market and strengthening the domestic market.
First, we need to open up new space, new market opportunities. Second, we need to strengthen the local market. The structure of the local market must be interconnected.
Trenggono also noted that Indonesia is now directing its export toward the Asian and European regions. This effort is reflected in the president's recent visit to the European Union, aimed at expanding market access for Indonesian products. According to Trenggono, the tariff pressure from the U.S. can serve as momentum for Indonesia to broaden its trade network and reduce reliance on a single market. Desi Anugrano, Voice of Indonesia.
President Prabowo Subianto has announced a plan to build 1,200 free boarding schools this year under the Sekolah Rakyat or People's School program. More detail by Dora Pardede.
Speaking through his personal YouTube channel on Tuesday, President Prabowo stated that the Sekolah Rakyat or People's School program is aimed at supporting the lowest income communities. According to him, the program is a strategy to break the cycle of poverty.
If the father is poor and the mother is poor, their child must not remain poor, especially not their grandchild. We will educate the child, and one day the child will lift their parents out of poverty. That is our strategy. We are ambitious.
President Prabowo further explained that children attending Sekolah Rakyat will be trained to live in an orderly manner and develop self-confidence. He emphasized that the government is committed to ensuring that the future of Indonesian children will not be crushed by their circumstances. Sekolah Rakyat will serve students from elementary to high school. Dora Pardede, Voice of Indonesia.
Digital leadership is set to strengthen national technology ecosystem. More detail by Ofra Regina.
Indonesia continues to strengthen its positions as a global hub for digital innovations. At the Digital Chief Information Officer Indonesia 2025 Forum held in Jakarta on Wednesday, co-chairman of the Indonesian Digital Leaders Associations and chairman of the Permanent Committee at the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry Jakarta, Arif Ilham Adnan, stated that the forum reflects Indonesia's growing role in the global digital economy.
A lot of multinational companies, international organizations that are taking part to this event. You see a lot of technology providers, not only from Indonesia but also from the overseas, coming to this event, showing off their capabilities, uniqueness, and relevance to the demand of the digital-driven industry in Indonesia.
Arif further emphasized that the forum brings together technology leaders, innovators, and public sector representatives to discuss strategies for accelerating digital transformations. The active participation of foreign technology providers also highlight Indonesia's increasing appeal as a competitive digital economy. Cross-border and cross-sector collaborations is seen as essential for driving inclusive growth and strengthening the national innovations ecosystem. Ofra Regina, Voice of Indonesia.
The Financial Services Authority of Indonesia, OJK, launches Carbon Trading Education Book for Financial Sector. More detail by Ofra Regina.
The Financial Services Authority of Indonesia, in collaboration with the Indonesia Stock Exchange, officially launched a guidebook in Jakarta on Tuesday. The book is titled Getting to Know and Understanding Carbon Trading for Indonesia's Financial Services Sector. In his remarks, Chairman of the Financial Authority Board of Commissioners, Mahendra Siregar, said the book is part of effort to help the financial sector better understand and prepare for carbon trading in Indonesia.
Peluncuran buku pada hari ini.
The launch of today's book is one of our efforts to broaden understanding and enhance the capacity of financial sector players regarding carbon trading in Indonesia.
Mahendra further explained that this initiative aligns with the mandate of the Financial Sector Development and Strengthening Law. Under the law, the financial authority is given the mandate to oversee, regulate, and expand carbon trading through a dedicated carbon exchange in the secondary market. The financial authority showed its commitment by launching Indonesia's carbon exchange on September 26, 2023, and opening access to international carbon trading on January 20, 2025. This step helped build a clear, trustworthy, efficient, and competitive carbon market in the country. Ofra Regina, Voice of Indonesia.
And listener, that's highlight of the week. Listener, we are about to listen to the VOI talk about Indonesia-Mercosur Agreement on Broader Business Opportunities with the Director of Intra-Regional and Inter-Regional Cooperation for America and Europe of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Nidia Kartikasari.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Well, listener, finally, we are going to have such special interview, listener. You know that Indonesia has made an effort to widen trade opportunity in Latin America, American countries by finalizing Indonesia-Mercosur Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, or IMCEPA. Will it bring with good result and impact? And let's have a conversation with the Director of Intra-Regional and Inter-Regional Cooperation for America and Europe of Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, Ibu Nidia Kartikasari. Good morning, Bu Nidia.
Good morning, Bapa. How are you? I hope all are well.
Bu Nidia, good morning.
Good morning. Can you listen to me?
Well, it seems that I couldn't hear your voice so clearly. It seems that there's still such technical problem. And here, okay.
Good morning, can you hear?
It seems that, listener, we are still connecting again with Ibu Nidia. It seems that we are not able to hear clearly from Ibu Nidia Kartikasari. And
good morning.
Here,
can you listen to me?
Listen here. Would like to try to see again here. And yes, before that, listener, let's find and also hear this song again. Also with our promo here and about Era Digital English Theater. Listen to it.
RRA Digital with New Look, various collaborative content from various national programs, including live visual broadcasts, live radio broadcasts, music playlists, podcasts, video news, and various users' interaction features in the game. Various interesting content such as likes, comments, and shares, as well as live chat with broadcasters and users. Direct messaging and private chat facilities between app users are also available. RRI Digital, available on Google Store and App Store. RRI Digital.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Well, listener, finally, we have been able to reach and would like to talk with Ibu Nidia Kartikasari. Good morning, Bu Nidia.
Good morning, Bapa. How are you this morning?
I'm fine, thank you. What about you, Bu Nidia?
All are well, thank you very much.
Well, thank you for your time, and I believe that you are still busy, and in your busy activities, you are still able to join our special interview today, Bu Nidia.
It's our pleasure.
Okay. Well, Bu Nidia, we know that, as I mentioned before, about the finalizing of Indonesia-Mercosur Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, or IMCEPA. Actually, what is how important is the Indonesia Mercosur Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, or MCEPA, for Indonesia, Bu Nidia?
Okay, first of all, thank you very much for the kind attention to the ongoing relationship between Indonesia and Mercosur. As we have known, Mercosur is combined of five countries, four, but five almost, Brazil, Argentina, Uruguay, Paraguay, and Bolivia, which is in the process of becoming full member. Mm-hmm. In total, the combined population of these five countries consists of 295 million people. Hmm. That is a big market for Indonesian business. And the collective GDP of nearly $3 trillion US dollar. Mm-hmm. So combined with Indonesia, we are the population is almost 600 million. And with economy with the size of $4 trillion. And both Indonesia and Mercosur has abundant natural resources. Mm-hmm. With significant industrial capacity. So the Indonesia Mercosur CEPA has been launched since 16 December 2021, and the terms of reference of negotiation mm-hmm. has been finalized in year 2022. But I need to clarify something in here, that we have not started the negotiation for the Indonesia Mercosur CEPA mm-hmm. because we're this is Indonesia with five countries, so we have to wait until the right time, until all countries are comfortable to start moving forward with the negotiations. But all the modalities are there, so now we're just in the process to kick off the negotiation.
Okay, Bu Nidia, actually we would like to know that, is it annual agenda, Bu Nidia, for Indonesia to join this?
No, this is not an annual agenda. So mm-hmm. Usually with certain groupings or certain countries, we have to have certain approach first, to approach them in order, because with Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, it means that mm-hmm. both sides need to agree that they will be open for each other. Mm-hmm. So this kind of approach and this kind of meeting we have conducted, I think, since 2018 with them. Mm-hmm. And in 2021, they agreed to launch. And in 2022, we agreed to have the terms of reference of the negotiation. But definitely, we're really looking forward for this negotiation to break through, to move forward, because we see that at least there will be three significant impacts from this agreement. First and foremost, definitely it will be the market diversification and strategic economic diplomacy. And as well as second, it will help us to support our downstreaming and industries, and for a better investment and technology flows. If I need to elaborate this, we all know that we are very rich in critical minerals, as well as Mercosur. But some critical minerals, they need to be put together in order to produce, for instance, EV battery. We have a nickel, they have lithium. So we have to collaborate, for instance, if we want to produce the EV batteries. Mm-hmm. This is one of the important areas of cooperation that we will have. And for market diversification and strategic economic diplomacy, with the size of almost 300 million people, this is definitely mm-hmm. not a small market for Indonesia. This is a big market. So we will have different partners, especially in Latin America, which we already now have economic partnership agreement with Chile, but we will expand more to different countries. And this will also help us to boost our export, especially in downstreaming area for chemical products, electrical equipment, and leather. And we also going to have import from them, because if you see the figures now, what we import from Mercosur countries are mostly agriculture products. And in the future, we can have better cooperation in other different areas as well. And it is also open because this is a comprehensive economic partnership agreement. This is also for services such as accounting and legal services, air and rail transportation. And last but not least, we have openness in trade agreement. We will have better investment and technology flows. So it will help the economy, not only Indonesia, but also the five countries combined in Mercosur to move forward with stronger economic cooperation and partnership.
Okay. Well, I am interested what you said before, Bu Nidia, about electric vehicle battery. It seems that Will it also bring an broader opportunity for us, for Indonesia, I mean, to build such factory in Indonesia? Do you mean like this?
Yes. Yes. Of course, now we already have like certain downstreaming industries supporting for this EV battery. And we have, for instance, investors from East Asia, and we also have investors from Europe. But it will be better if we can have a source of minerals, not only from an cooperation, not only from certain areas, but diversification from other areas, especially because we know exactly that both Indonesia and Mercosur countries has the mineral resources available. So if we can cooperate and build an ecosystem for EV battery both in Indonesia and Mercosur to gain to make the best opportunity of this momentum of electric vehicle, I think it'll be a better and a best cooperation from both sides.
Okay, Bu Nidia, we need your more explanation about five countries, like you said before, about Indonesia and also including in EMCEFA like that. It means that each country of five countries that you mentioned before also have such easiness in exporting goods, maybe including mineral like this. You mean, Bu Nidia?
Well, actually, different countries will have different regulations on managing their minerals. We understand, for instance, some countries like Argentina, the optimization of their raw materials is managed by the provincial level rather than the central government. So I think we cannot have a one-size-fits strategy, but everything can be discussed and defined into the agreement. And that's both in the groupings context like Mercosur as well as in bilateral context. So what I'm trying to say is that there will be no single strategy for approaching Mercosur, but we will have a horizontal mechanism where we can have an agreement of strengthening our economic cooperation, both in technology, capacity building, trainings, and other joint projects, transfer of technology and knowledge, to help both Indonesia and Mercosur to further develop a more stronger ecosystem for their industry, including, among others, in the EV battery industry.
Wow, it seems extraordinary, Bu Nidia. It seems that there are lots of agreement, and maybe in many sectors, in this case. So my question is the agreement, I mean, does the agreement also give such a boosting green economy target for Indonesia, Bu Nidia?
Well, I understand that in the terms of reference, as well as in the terms of reference, that one of the purpose of this agreement is to have help on the trade and sustainable development. I think every country in the world aim for sustainable development goals. So definitely it will help the green economy as well as the green industry to flourish, both in Indonesia as well as in Mercosur.
Okay. Bu Nidia, according to the information we have got from Indonesian Ministry of Trade, The total trade value between Indonesia and Brazil from January to September 2004 reached $5.07 billion. So actually, what is needed to be upgraded in this partnership?
Yes, thank you. Just like you mentioned, based on the data from the Ministry of Trade, we experience a trade deficit of 4.7 billion. And we believe that to upgrade this partnership, it is crucial to address this trade imbalance and expand cooperation beyond the current focus area. And what we imported from Brazil, if we look at the data, is mostly on agriculture products, as well as, for instance, we import soya, we import soya beans. Indonesia loves tempeh and tahu very much, and we import it from Brazil. And we need those soya beans and corns, as well as for the feedstock for the animals. So it's not only consumption products, but we also need it for the production product, especially in the agricultural sectors. And I believe when the agreement takes effect, we anticipate significant growth rate in trade volume between Indonesia and Mercosur, including with Brazil, because this agreement will provide new opportunities to reduce deficit by boosting Indonesia's exports of high-value manufactured goods. So if you look at the data of this trade between Indonesia and Mercosur, especially Brazil, what we see that actually the exports of Indonesia products basically are products with added values or manufacturing products. There are, for instance, palm oil derivatives, rubber products, furniture, footwear, and clothing. So it's very diversified, our products. So we hope that in the future, when this Indonesia Mercosur CEPA is finalized, the expansion of our manufacturing products to enter the Brazil market, as well as other markets inside Mercosur, will be expanded more and more.
Okay. Bu Nidia, before that, we talk more about the trade agreement inside of that. So actually, what kind of cooperation maybe that Indonesia need or has with Mercosur member countries?
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, currently most of the cooperation with Mercosur member countries is in the form of bilateral cooperation or via other regional forum and organization. For example, Indonesia has halal product certification agreements with Argentina and Uruguay, and has also established cooperation frameworks in healthcare and sports between both countries. And with Brazil, Indonesia has launched several bilateral initiatives, including plans to import live cattle to support the national free nutritious meal program. So we are actually imported many beef, meat from other countries. And with Brazil, there is this agreement where they will support us with live cattle, the good quality of breed, and will invest in the agriculture, especially in breeding of this livestock of animals. And in 2024, Indonesia and Brazil also signed a health cooperation MOU to advance technical collaboration between health ministries, as well as a knowledge exchange and cooperation agreement between Brasilia and Nusantara as a new capital cities. This agreement covers smart city development, green initiatives, infrastructure, inclusive building, and climate change mitigation and adaptation in urban development. So as we can see, the cooperation that exists now is very comprehensive, but we need a momentum to actually implant it, to make it more expanded, so that each people from each countries can actually gain benefits from this cooperation and agreement.
Okay. In India, we know that Indonesian government until now and even continuously encouraging producing creative economy, Bu Nidia. And based on your perspective here, does Indonesia have such, I can say what you call that, broader impact by joining BRICS member here and even joining IMSEPA to continuously or sustainably produce Indonesian creative economy in the future, Bu Nidia?
Yes, thank you very much for that. So I was in Argentina last year in 2024, and I met many business associations in Argentina in order to move forward with Indonesia, to have conversation to move forward with Indonesia Mercosur SEPA. Mm-hmm. And many of the business people were actually coming from the home decor and furniture industry as well as handicraft. So many of them, they imported home decor products and furniture, so to supply the restaurants and the hotels. So they told me that many of the five-star hotels as well as the boutique hotels, the furniture, the home decors coming from Indonesia. They imported directly, both from Jepara as well as from Bali. This also similar, for instance, in the case of jewelry. Many of them imported the handcrafted jewelry made in Indonesia. So, you know, I grew in the 80s, so 80s and 90s. And for instance, I grew up watching telenovelas. And it is in our dream that someday the Latin American people, especially Mercosur people, can actually see the greatness of our movie, our animation, and our creative economy products. And we do look forward to have this kind of cooperation expanded in the future through the Indonesia Mercosur CEPA.
So by knowing and having your experience, yeah, Bu Nidia, about telenovela maybe here, this can also be as an opportunity for Indonesia, yeah, to bring and to develop about Indonesian creative economy. Well, Bu Nidia, we know that before that we talk more about some goods or import products that from many countries to Indonesia. My question is, what are the most Indonesian export products that other countries really need for Indonesian products, Bu Nidia? I mean, they have also more interest of Indonesian product from the Mercosur countries.
Is this the Indonesian export commodities?
Yes.
That are okay. So as I mentioned earlier, what we export these days to Mercosur countries are palm oil derivatives, rubber products, furniture, and footwear. But in data, we also see electronic products as well as automotive products to Mercosur countries. We are all aware that we are part of a big global supply chains in automotive, especially with investment from Japan, Korea, and China. And we exported that automotive products most also to Latin American countries. So I believe this will further boost our industries, not only in clothing and footwears, but also in other sectors, including electronics as well as the automotive products.
Okay, so let's come to the final question, Bu Nidia. Maybe you have such messages or expectation for the sake of Indonesia in joining BRICS and as well as joining IMSEPA?
Well, for BRICS, definitely that is not my portfolio, but we have listened to the president that the reason why we joined BRICS because we want to have many friends from many parts of the world. And for the Indonesia Mercosur SEPA, the main reasons why we want to move forward with Indonesia Mercosur SEPA because we want to have extensive economic cooperation with five members of Mercosur, and we do hope the strengthening of this economic cooperation will bring benefits for the people both in Indonesia and Mercosur. So my message is to people of Indonesia, please kindly support this initiative, and we do look forward for the benefit in the future.
Alright, alright. Thank you very much, Bu Nidia, for your time to join this special review today. Thank you, Bu Nidia.
Thank you very much.
Okay, have a nice day, Bu Nidia.
You too.
Okay,
please have a nice day, Pak.
Okay, thank you. Well, listener, that was our special review with Director of Intra-Regional and Inter-Regional Cooperation for America and Europe of Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, Ibu Nidia Kartika Sari.
Voice of Indonesia. VOR.
Today's sound.
Hari yang mantap. Aduh sedap. Kamu di Kemang, aku juga. Kok bisa ya nang? Kebetulan. Hari yang mantap. Aduh senang. Terngiang-ngiang, kamu sayang. Karena kita berdekatan. Apa bisa kita bertemu walau sebentar. Bersenda gurau dengan kelakar. Apa bisa kita bertemu walau sebentar. Bersenda gurau dengan kelakar. Ku jamin kamu akan nyaman.
Sudah terluka, fakta terkuat. Ini adalah hari yang paling mantap. Bertemu kamu hatiku terkoyak. Bagai bunga yang wangi semerbak. Wong Fei Hung, aku jadi bingung. Kalau gak ada kamu, aku jadi linglung. Bang Bing Bung, yuk kita nabung. Bang Ting Tung, yuk kita ngitung.
Buat apaan? Buat nikah? Daftar KUA, ijab kabul dan langsung
saya nikahkan kamu dengan anak saya Sekara Patapatapa binti Sekara Beribopa. Dengan mas kawin tersebut dibayar tunai. Sah semuanya?
Oke. Apa bisa? Apa bisa kita bertemu walau sebentar? Bersenda gurau dengan kelakar. Apa bisa kita bertemu walau sebentar? Bersenda gurau dengan kelakar. Ku jamin kamu akan nyaman. Ku jamin kamu akan nyaman. Ku jamin kamu akan
Voice of Indonesia.
At first glance, his face looks like the face of an adult human, with his eyes reflecting a blank, meaningless look. His body is covered in black clothes and a piece of ulos, a typical woven cloth of the Batak tribe, is slung over his shoulders. Meanwhile, on his head, he has a sortali, a kind of head covering. When the sound of music from the gondang, a traditional single-headed drum, starts to play, suddenly his sculpted body begins to move to the rhythm of the music. He is Sigaligali, a unique wooden doll from Tomok village on Samosir Island in the middle of Lake Toba in North Sumatra. Sigaligali statue was not just born just like that. There is a long history that follows it, as told by local guide Anderson Sigiro. Sigaligali is actually the story of a king's son. 600 years ago, there was a king in the Batak region or Samosir Island whose name was Raja Rahat. Raja Rahat has a son, the only son. His name is Simanggali, a pious and obedient child who has the skill of manortor or Batak dancing. However, when he was growing up, he was ordered by Raja Rahat or his father to go to war with the aim of expanding Raja Rahat's territory or kingdom area. However, in this war, Simanggali died or was killed in the battle, and his body wasn't found. Hearing this news, Raja Rahat felt sad. Yes, he regretted to lose his only son who should have given him the next generation. For the Batak people, having a son is important to continue the next generation of the family or clan line. Finding out that his only son is dead, Raja Rahat fell ill and almost lost his memory, because he kept thinking about his only son who was gone. Various ways were done to cure the king, including summoning powerful shamans in the Batak region. However, none of the shamans were able to treat Raja Rahat's illness. However, one day, one of the residents had a dream. He dreamed that if the king wants to be healed, try to make a statue that looks like Raja Rahat's son. They tried to make a statue, and after the statue was finished, the statue was presented before the king. Raja Rahat saw the statue, and he summoned a powerful shaman who was able to heal or summon the spirit of Simanggali. The shaman then did a ritual. The shaman summoned the spirit. The spirit was attached to the body of the statue that had been provided. The statue was ordered to dance and move. At the beginning, Sigaligali could move or dance mystically, or at the behest of a shaman. But now, Sigaligali is moved with the help of a puppeteer. Sigaligali comes from the word gali, which in Toba Batak language means graceful. In order to stand upright, Sigaligali is placed on a rectangular wooden pad. This wooden pad functions to connect the woven ropes, which can make the wooden doll move as if it were dancing. A puppeteer will control the ropes so that Sigaligali can move smoothly. Like the nervous system and the body joints in humans, these ropes connect Sigaligali's body parts, starting from the head, neck, arms, and palms. It turns out that we can still see the 90-year-old Sigaligali statue at the performance venue in Tomok. But because its condition is not good anymore, a duplicate is made. In fact, our oldest Sigaligali statue is over there. The original statue is broken, so we use a duplicate of that. But this is also old. This duplicate is over 30 years old. Of the three Sigaligali statues that we can see today at the Sigaligali performance venue in Tomok, all of them wear black clothes. Does this have any meaning?
Nah, jadi sebenarnya gini, Bu, karena
well,
orang Batak
actually it's like this. Because Batak people are like that. So, when they die, they have to be wrapped in the black ulos traditional clothes like this. That's why Batak people used to wear clothes when they died. They wore a black suit. In memory of his son Simangale, when Raja Rahat was alive, he made a rule or decree in the kingdom that the statue had to be displayed or shown to the public, whether at cultural or traditional events accompanied by dancing or tortor. This can be seen today when we visit Tomok, Samosir Island. Visitors also joined the Manortor. What are their impressions after seeing Sigale-gale and dancing? In fact, our origins are from Samosir, the origins of our ancestors. So we come here from Nainggolan district because I am from the Nainggolan clan. We want to see this very sacred Batak culture, which is very interesting. We want to see Sigale-gale directly.
Nah, itu kita sangat-sangat.
Well, we are very, very impressed, and that is the Tortor Batak tradition. So we teach Manortor to children. There is an order in doing Manortor by holding ulos traditional cloth. We wear sword for women and for men. The ulos for women and men are also different, both in good and bad times. I think Lake Toba, especially in Tomok, is the best place to do Manortor.
Saya ikut melihat dan ikut
after I see and take part in the Tortor dance with Sigale-gale, I feel that Batak culture is really interesting for us. First, we watched it, then we will share it with our friends. This Batak culture is really interesting.
Budaya Batak ini.
We are from the city of Subulussalam in the district of Aceh province, and we come with families. We are here for holiday to see Sigale-gale, which is one of Batak cultures. Then I'm actually here to let children know that Indonesia has many cultures. I see Sigale-gale and feel entertained. I want to come here again.
Harapan kita sebenarnya banyak.
We actually have a lot of hopes, ma'am, especially regarding Sigale-gale, because this must be preserved. This is one of the Batak cultures that we are still fighting to maintain from ancient times until now.
Aku bingung, kalian masih di sini. Apa mungkin karena
Thank you very much. You are still tuned to Radio Service Voice of Indonesia, and more from Indonesia is coming up next. I'd like to say thank you very much for listening. You can follow our social media accounts: Facebook The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram VOI_official. More content from The Voice of Indonesia is available on our YouTube channel VOI Official. I'm Steve. Thank you very much for listening. Stay tuned on Radio Service Voice of Indonesia.